Turn to Revelations 19. Revelation 19. We've had a message on so also is the resurrection. We've had one last Sunday morning on the better resurrection. Tonight, I want us to look at the bride. This 19th chapter, I want to read verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. This woman of destiny, the Lamb's wife. She's spoken of again in chapter 21, where she is described as a great and glorious city coming down from God out of heaven. Let's turn to the 21st chapter, and let's start reading with verse 9. And there came unto me one of the seven messengers, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying to John, come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. You know, we might ask the question now, who constitutes the bride of Christ? I was thinking about this today and thinking about I'd like to write in the paper an article. You know, what does the Bible say? Starting with the question, can we know who qualifies for to be in that company of the bride of Christ? Well, we can only go to the Word of God for the answer. It is very evident that not all saints have this royal place. For at the marriage, back in our 19th chapter, at the marriage of the Lamb, we read of the servants and we read of the guests. So not all constitute the bride, right? Verse 5, and a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye his servants, there you are, and ye that fear him, both small and great. So there we have the servants at the wedding, at the wedding supper of the Lamb. And then we go down to verse 9 and we see the guests. There's guests there of the saints. And he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called. Here we have the guests. Unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true sayings of God. I really like that about Revelation, is that we read this a lot. That we can believe. These are the true sayings of God. And also in chapter 21 again, we read in verse 14 that the bride of the Lamb is distinguished, you know, that great city, from the 12 foundations, the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Verse 14, and the wall of the city. See the difference? had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Now, I read these especially to bring out that truth that not all saints are of this royal place. And God gave us a wonderful illustration right in the beginning in the book of Genesis, chapter 2. I'd like for you to turn with all my scriptures tonight because we are having a Bible study. So we want to follow along and look at these verses. And he gave this wonderful illustration right off in the beginning. Eve was built of a rib taken from the side of Adam, and God builded a wife for a helpmeet for Adam. Chapter 2, beginning with verse 20, and I'll read through 23. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet for him. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And as he slept, he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh there instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made, and this in the original is builded he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Eve is certainly a type of the bride of Christ, which that company, that rib company, will be taken out of Christ's body. And what is his body? The church. And being divinely chosen and divinely built. He's building today. Praise the Lord. Now, this is an imagination. And some might say, boy, you've really gone out on a limb. That sounds like imagination to me. Well, let's turn to the book of Romans. And let's look at the fifth chapter. And we read here that Adam is a figure of him that is to come. So let's read this in the fifth chapter of Romans. I'm going to read verse 14. So we aren't making it up. We're reading it from God's word. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. Who? What's it talking about? Adam. Adam, who is a figure of him that was to come. Christ. Yes. Figure. So see how this type just, oh, praise the Lord. I feel moved tonight. And I thank the Lord for the teaching that I have gotten and the inspiration that I have gotten from those teachers of past years. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's turn to the seventh chapter of Romans. And we find what particular saints will make up the bride of Christ. Now, you're going to wonder, now, why is this portion being read? You'll see. All right, chapter 7, and let's begin reading with verse 1. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then if, while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Yes. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We notice that verse 4. Brethren, we should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead. The Apostle Paul here is using an illustration. And this illustration is to teach us a very important truth. In Romans, the 6th chapter, and just across the page in my Bible, in the 6th chapter, we read that our old man, our former husband, was crucified with Christ. Hence, we are not under the law. In this 6th chapter, let's read verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Let's go down to verse 14. For sin shall have no dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. But if we do not count the old man dead while we be joined to Christ, then what? We are adulterous. Yes. For a woman cannot have two husbands. The reason many do not have victory over sin is because they are joined to Christ, but they do not count the old husband dead. Selah, two husbands in the same house, asking for trouble, right? Well, Christ alone has the right to headship. He purchased that right with his own blood, and he cannot accept his wife who has another husband. That cannot be. How foolish to accept Christ to be our bridegroom if we do not count our old man, our old husband, dead. Amen? And we're told in this portion, in chapter 6, let us reckon. What does that mean? It means agree with God, with what God has said, that our old man died with Christ and is no longer our husband. We are no longer to recognize the old natural life. Wow. This is victory, isn't it? Yes. We're now free. Now to be joined to Christ. We recognize his life in us only. We don't recognize the old life. We only recognize his life in us. And as our head, we should wholly depend upon him. We love and trust him. He becomes our thought. He becomes our theme. He becomes our very life, our joy, our wisdom. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. First Corinthians 6, verse 17. But he, that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Those who hold Jesus only as their head, as we have already read, they become fruitful unto him. We just read that. This is the right attitude and the relation of the bride to her groom. Separation from all else, all others, into a union with him exclusively. It was Paul's desire and it was his pursuit. And let's turn to Philippians. Philippians, the third chapter. Philippians 3, and I'm going to start with verse 8 and read through 10 at least here. Yea, doubtless, Paul says, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. I'm going to skip down to verse 14. I'm going to come back to these other verses later. Verse 14, the Apostle Paul, here he says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Well, we already have read what the prize is in verse 8, that I may win Christ. He is the prize. And Paul's pursuit should be our pursuit. In Philippians chapter 1, it's a precious book. I've about worn it out in my Bible. I have to be careful how I turn the pages. Christ is set forth as our life in chapter 1. In chapter 2, he is said to be our pattern. And now we come to chapter 3, and we read that Christ is the prize of the high calling of God. Hallelujah. And I thank the Lord for the teaching of Sister Bodie, who really, her teaching inspired me concerning the bride of Christ. And she said, to be with Christ is glorious. To be like him is great, but to win him is everything. Are we running to win him? When Paul wrote this, you know, some people, they just dismiss this in Philippians. They say, oh, it's a concerning salvation. Well, when Paul wrote this, he already knew Christ as his Savior. He knew Christ as his life and his strength and his wisdom, but he yearns to know him as his heavenly bridegroom. Hallelujah. If we do not suffer, though, like we read here concerning the Apostle Paul in losing, what we give up doesn't amount to very much. Selah, think on that. There is a real death in such giving up, but it is not death to self, but it is death to what we surrender. That it means nothing to us. More than that, we count it as nothing. Like the Apostle Paul. Paul counted that repulsive, a mass of corruption, that he may win Christ and be found in him. You know, most Christians cling to their own righteousness. You know, that's the way of the old nature. Oh, how we have our mind upon ourselves. We need to get our minds off of ourselves and on to our Lord and be inspired to run to win Him. Most Christians cling to their righteousness. Now that you might say, oh, that sounds judgmental, but it's true. We can never win Christ except that we wholly renounce all of our own natural goodness. Do we think, well, we have some goodness here, some goodness here. Oh, we want to hold on to that? No. Let us renounce all of our natural goodness. We cannot glory in anything in ourselves. We can only glory in the fact that we died with Christ and He is our life. He is our eternal life. He is our righteousness. As we maintain this attitude of separation from all things and everybody and repudiate our own righteousness, we are becoming conformed to the death of Christ that we read of in that third chapter of Philippians, verse 10. God will bring us to experiences of sorrow, grief, and pain, that we come to the place, this place of death to all. To all. We are made to see with shame the self-righteousness that, how self-righteous we have been. Thank the Lord. He's perfecting us. Aren't you glad that the work isn't finished? He's still working on me. Is He working on you? He's ridding us of the dross to know Him in the power of His resurrection and in the fellowship of His suffering. Christ being formed in us. Let's turn to Galatians 4:19. Galatians 4, verse 19. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Yes. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We are growing up into Christ our head. Let's turn to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Ephesians 4, 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Praise the Lord. Growing up into Christ our head. Back to Philippians, the third chapter. Philippians 3, and this time I will begin with verse 11. Paul says, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead, or as this reads in the Greek, out from the believing dead. Yes, that I may attain to the resurrection out from the, that's the better resurrection we had in our lesson last Sunday morning. Yes, not as though I had already attained, Apostle Paul says, neither were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend or lay a hold of that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Yes. Forgetting those things which are behind. You know, he counted the loss of all things. Forgetting those things, pedigrees, friends, plans, attainments, achievements, even gifts. Absolutely all. And reaching forward, pressing to the goal, as we read here in our 14th verse. Paul says, I press toward the mark of the prize for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Verse 11, he says, if by any means I might attain to that out resurrection from among the believing dead, and to win Christ, himself as our heavenly bridegroom, let us press on. Let us press on. Isn't this a day that Satan would like to discourage us? Yes. Like to say, oh, I just give up. Just let down. Let us press on. Let us press on. If by any means we might apprehend, seize a hold of that which for we have been apprehended of God in Christ. Let us set our faces like a flint. I remember Sister Bodie speaking about Christ, and she said, he set his face like a flint and went to the cross to win his bride. So let us set our face as a flint, like our blessed Lord did, to win us. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let us be persistent in faith and wholeheartedly yield unto him. That's forgetting everything. Wholeheartedly yielded to him. If we are devoted to him wholeheartedly, we will be a part of that glorious company. But we need to keep on, don't we?
Yes.
Keep on. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That glorious company, the holy city, the new Jerusalem coming down from God, and her light like a stone most precious, even a jasper stone clear as crystal. I'm going to read one last verse. Revelation 22:12. Jesus' words, red letter. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes. 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 Can do. It's in, some of the words are written in a paper.